Let's Talk About is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. It is currently, well, by the time you're listening to this, it's a little bit over, but it's E3 2021 this year, and a new Battlefield game has been released, kicking off a bit of a tizzy on social media. Battlefield 2042 had a trailer drop at E3 this past weekend, and many of us were expecting this. Anybody who knows Battlefield, who knows the games and stuff, has been waiting for this game for a while and has been expecting that they're probably going to announce something at E3 for a while. But we weren't expecting what we got. 2042 takes a step into the near future, into a world racked by climate change, and positions the player as a soldier in a conflict kicked off, essentially, by climate disaster. And as gaming media goes now, and as things on the internet go, the developers immediately came out and stated that the climate apocalypse in 2042 is for, quote, gameplay reasons, not social commentary. So this is an article by Luke Winke from IGN. This was published on June 11th. Battlefield 2042 setting is in a world fraught. The world is in the middle of a cascading climate cataclysm. Entire countries have been destabilized by the chaos, leading to an unprecedented refugee crisis. Some of the refugees find themselves conscripted by either Russia or the US in a new world war, where they slaughter each other in a number of conspicuously dystopian environments. One multiplayer map literally takes place on an Antarctic brutalized by the oil industry. Another plays out in a Persian Gulf metropolis ravaged by sandstorms. This is a quote from Daniel Berlin, who is the design director for Battlefield 2042. So the question posited by IGN, Battlefield 2042 is talking about depatriated people. We're talking about citizens who've been displaced by climate change and war. Is there any sort of sensitivity towards those issues for you guys? Is there any social commentary anywhere with what you're trying to do, or is this purely just a multiplayer game? Berlin said, it is definitely purely a multiplayer game for us. The reason we decided to go down this route is so we can create a narrative with this world that we could create through the eyes of the Nopats, which they used to refer to the climate refugees. We wanted to get more spectacle in there and more massive events happening. The setting fits that perfectly. It fits that scale and it gives us reasons to go all over the world. It's for gameplay reasons across the board. So this is from later on in the article. It seems likely that EA believes by avoiding the P word, they are removing themselves from greater levels of critical and customer scrutiny. But consider what the company is inferring when it declares ideological inertness. If Battlefield 2042 was truly apolitical, that means DICE has was exclusively inspired by the graphical possibilities of our coming apocalypse, and that the collateral human misery, failed states, and biospheric catastrophe seem solely like incredible venues for firefights and nothing more. By filtering Climate Armageddon solely through, in Berlin's words, gameplay reasons, DICE has ironically created one of the most trenchant political commentaries the crisis has entertained. We all know what's coming, but we dare not verbalize those who are responsible. I hope EA and the rest of the games industry changes its tone before it's too late. Now, here's where I sit on this. I do not think DICE is going out to make a gameplay or a political statement about the climate disaster and what is coming. But that's not the point. That is not the issue. And I think Winky is getting a little bit too gung-ho with the criticisms of DICE. They're making a business decision, they're making a design decision, yes, but they are being informed by reality. They are being informed by what is coming in terms of climate change. But I don't think they're expressly going out intentionally to make a political statement. I think both sides are correct, but they're aiming at different targets here. IGN is prescribing a statement on them where they are looking at the interpretation of the work, not the actual content of the work, whereas DICE is trying to dodge the interpretation while considering it as a statement. They are both right, but they're aiming at different targets. And this is just an issue. So here's where I land on it. Just because you're trying to remove a work from making a statement, this does not allow you to escape interpretation of that work as a statement. Interpretation is not objective. It does not solely lie with the creator. As a creator myself, I know the work I create has a meaning. It has a meaning to me. It's my voice. It's my perspective. I ascribe a message and a meaning to it. But that is not the sole nor even the most important interpretation. Once a work has been created and shared, even to a small handful, it can be interpreted and reinterpreted ad nauseum. It is completely out of the creator's control because interpretation is left up to the individual. It's left up to the audience. The Matrix is a work. Matrix is a work with a clear message and interpretation in 2021, but this has changed and morphed as the context around it has changed and morphed. The meaning it has now in the context of 2021, with the ways in which its own creators have changed and reinterpreted the work, is starkly different than when it was released. In a gaming context, Call of Duty Modern Warfare from 2019 was in the media expressly denied as being political, the leads on the game even saying that they would have to be making a statement about a particular regime or administration for it to be political. But the game and its campaign exists in a political and historical context. It clearly and viscerally represents the post-9/11 military world, raiding homes in urban London on the hunt for terrorists, and military is becoming more and more gray as time wears on. The driving narrative for the main character in the game's campaign is encapsulated by this exchange.
Boss, what the hell are we doing here?
We're cleaning up a mess.
With women and children.
They were leverage.
They were hostages.
When you take the gloves off, you get blood on your hands, Kyle. That's how it works.
Where do we draw the line, Ursa?
You draw the line wherever you need it, Sergeant. End of the day, someone has to make the enemy scared of the dark. We get dirty, and the world stays clean. That's the mission.
No, Infinity Ward is not making a statement about a particular administration, but they clearly, intentionally or not, are making a statement about the reality soldiers in modern militaries have been placed within, one where rules of engagement are fluid and the line is wherever you draw it. This is something troubling in a world rocked by surveillance programs and the Patriot Act. Whether they intended to make a statement or not is irrelevant. They positioned this statement, this story in a global context where that is objective reality. Read any book on drone programs, the Obama administration, covert operations. People live this stuff every day, and we have learned this. We've learned that this is quote-unquote normal, and that this is reality in 2021. What is also reality is climate change, desertification, climate refugees, rising water levels, resource inequality, conflict over resources. We've been fighting over water, cropland, and access to waterways since the dawn of man, and it's only going to get worse. Yet DICE has made it nothing but set dressing in Battlefield 2042, included in it for gameplay purposes. They are turning people's reality into a fun twist on the Battlefield formula. Now, I'm not saying they're doing anything malicious. I'm not saying they're trying to make light of something that is killing people. They make an FPS. They've gamified war, and I've been playing their games since Battlefield Bad Company. I know. I'm not saying they're doing anything malicious. But to say you're not making a statement does not mean you can sidestep interpretation. And that interpretation is out of their hands. It exists. My first thought when I saw that trailer for Battlefield 2042, along with everybody else I was watching live, and thought, hey, they're really capturing desertification really well. They are doing a great job of showing an objective reality that people are facing every single day at an extreme level, and an extreme level that we will see. Yet to take that strong, moving interpretation and to sidestep making a statement, that's where I have a bit of an issue. Now, what I want to get at with this episode is that statements and interpretations are different. You can make an explicit statement. You know, here's just a definition of political statement. The term political statement is used to refer to any act or nonverbal form of communication that is intended to influence a decision to be made for or by a political party. A political statement can vary from a mass demonstration to the wearing of a badge with a political slogan. It's a term popularized in the 1960s but still has some currency. So there is an idea of a political statement out there. Where I think people are getting a little bit lost is that this has meaning. That this setting, this world, it carries meaning. And there's going to be two sides to the debate. There's going to be the people that want it to be a statement, that want this to show that reality and present it in a way that moves people and gets them mobilized, gets them to act in a way that will, you know, attack this problem, that will make the plight of climate refugees and the threat of climate change real for people. I wish people took this more seriously. I wrote a whole book on reacting to climate change. Yet here we are with people in the mentions on Twitter freaking out over, why do all video games need to be making political statements these days? It's just a game. Or people saying, it shouldn't just be a, you can't say you're not making a statement, you're clearly making a statement. I don't think DICE is trying to be, I genuinely believe that they saw this reality, they saw this and thought, hey, this is an interesting, this is where the world is going to be in 2042. We should represent that because this is what's going to happen. They're trying to make the whole thing with Battlefield from day one is that they are the realistic, not milsim, but they are the realistic shooter compared to Call of Duty. You know, recoil and bullet drop and massive conflict zones and all that, and getting away from the outlandish world of the Call of Duty campaigns. They've always been presented as the realistic shooter compared to Call of Duty. And with this, they are accurately representing what our reality is going to be in 2042 or darn near close to it. But there is this aversion to being political because there's this thought that it will ruin or break a game, that it takes away, that being political somehow takes away from an experience, because people want this sanitized version. But if that were true, then we'd have to throw out so much of the works that we love. But I think the other side of it is missing the point entirely, where they are looking not at the statement being made, the point of the work itself, and they are looking at their own interpretation of that work. Like I said prior, those interpretations are out of the creator's control. The DICE can make the game and make it mean whatever they want to, or intend it to mean whatever they want to, and they can interpret it one way. They can interpret the climate disaster and then the climate change components in the game as gameplay included for gameplay reasons. It's just set dressing. It's just mechanics to shake up the Battlefield formula. But once that game is out, once the trailer has been shown, once the game has been released and it's being played, individuals will interpret that in whatever way they want. I've done episodes on Death of the Author before and how we interpret meaning from art and video games as art. But a fundamental component of a creative work, and believe me, even though this is popcorn video games, Battlefield 2042 is just a multiplayer shooter, does not negate the fact that it can have meaning. Not every game has to be Metal Gear Solid, which had very clear statements to make, a very clear message to make about post-9/11 world, the way in which the world is run by these elite factions and money talks and the changing face of warfare, and even down to the personal stakes of destiny and choice and being a good person, doing what you think is right. There's a great video, I can't remember the YouTuber who did it, but he did a breakdown of Metal Gear Solid 5 and how it is a perfect encapsulation of the Western world's reaction to terrorism and how it has slipped. And included some very real allegories to 9/11 in that. I swear there are other interpretations other than post-9/11 world. We're going to see a lot of COVID interpretations out there for a very long time because of this pandemic. But what I'm saying is that you can control a statement you make, but you cannot control the interpretation of that work. As soon as it goes into the domain of the public or whatever number of viewers, is going to be interpreted and reinterpreted as people see fit. I've been watching Neon Genesis Evangelion, and I am very clearly seeing this. First off, I'm seeing the similarities between it and Pacific Rim and how Pacific Rim was very clearly influenced by Neon Genesis Evangelion, but I'm also seeing how oddly present this idea is in the series, where people are being raised to be, you know, children are being brought up to be soldiers. Very clearly it's showing, you know, in, you know, for all of us who grew up in the 2000s being kind of geared towards this world of conflict, or, you know, the Cold War generation, where, you know, that generation who grew up then was being groomed and being told that there is a war coming, that nuclear annihilation is coming. We need to, you know, work. We need to, everyone needs to be prepared. You know, we had nuclear preparedness drills and duck and cover drills and things like that. It's very clearly, intentionally or not, able to be interpreted in this way as almost an allegory to life in militarized societies, particularly Western societies and Japanese society, because the film takes place in Japan, it can be done. I have spent so much time on Letterboxd providing interpretations of crappy military films and the way that they represent things and the way that they show different things. Interpretations are inherently personal. They are subjective in a lot of ways. So with Battlefield 2042, people are very clearly interpreting, not just interpreting the way that climate change is represented in the game as, you know, this terrible thing that's causing, you know, narratively in the film, or not film, in narratively in the game. There's no campaign to it. It's just multiplayer, so it's all kind of what we're given by the developers. But it's showing in the narrative of the game that, you know, these people impacted by climate change are being militarized and turned into kind of allowing factions to fight a proxy war over these areas to fight over what's left, and the storms and everything that are rocking the multiplayer maps are actual things that are going to happen. People aren't really looking at that. They're latching on to that accompanying the there's no social commentary here, there's no political statement being made, as, you know, Winky points out in his article. They're latching on to those two together as a statement. They're putting the words of the developers and the work that they've created, latching the two together as a statement, and are interpreting it as such, where they are, again, interpreting. That is the interpretation that's being made. So I don't think DICE is making a statement, but their work is being interpreted as such. By gamifying an objective reality people are facing, you are making a statement that is normal. That this is just like, it doesn't matter, we don't need to talk about it because it's just there. It's a fun little addition. It's a twist on the Battlefield formula. It's set dressing. It's pushed to the margins and doesn't matter. That's the thing people have an issue with. They have an issue more with that it's not making a statement than with the way that they're actually interpreting the things. Because I think, objectively looking at the way the aesthetic of the game and the visuals and the map design and the mechanical design of the game is being presented, it is showing a very objective and accurate portrayal of what will go on. Narratively, the game is showing an accurate portrayal of what could happen in the next 20 years. And I think that's good. I think showing this and letting this breathe is really helpful, because art, and I use art loosely in this context, I'm talking about Battlefield, art influences life, and life influences art. Our lived experiences and our knowledge and the things that we understand, the interpretations of the world and the experience of the world we have, are reflected in the things that we make and the art that we make. And in turn, that art as it exists and is interpreted by people impacts those people and imbues in them the symbolism and the messaging and the meaning. That's why you kind of have to be careful with things like this, because it has a very real impact on the way people think and conceive of reality. So by making, you know, I don't think they're intentionally making light of anything or have any ill intention in them. But by putting this in front of people and showing them, hey, look at this. This is going on. If you could, do what they did with Battlefield 1, the game that was set in World War 1, where they told these stories in the campaign as war stories, something similar to what I did in the first year of this podcast with my War Stories miniseries, talking about Canadians in war. Do something like that. Make a narrative around those things. Take that the experiences of climate refugees and all of that and turn it into an experience. Make a message that comes out and says, hey, it can be fun, it can be gameplay, it can be whatever, but it can also say something. It can also have a meaning to it that goes beyond. I mean, that is a possibility, but they don't have to do that because they're video game developers under a monolith that is Electronic Arts. So if EA, I mean, part of it is they don't have a campaign to put any story or meaning into. It's just a multiplayer. And EA is averse to things like that because they are a billion-dollar corporation that doesn't want any controversy over this, but the controversy is being kicked up regardless. What they missed an opportunity, in my mind, they missed an opportunity to make a statement, and that is their prerogative. They can or can't. I'm not trying to ascribe morality to it. I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong. I think I will say that in this interview or this article by Luke Winkie, both sides are right. The developers are right saying that they're not making a statement. They're just making a video game because it's not their intent. But I also think Winkie is right in saying that, one, it's a missed opportunity to make a statement, but two, it can still be interpreted as a statement. It can still, by gamifying and including these things as set dressing, you are in turn making a statement about these things that they are not worthy of being, either not worthy, one interpretation saying that they're not worthy of making a statement about, or that they are normal and should not be worried about. They're just fun little things. But that doesn't end there, because interpretation, as I have said, is entirely up to the individual. You don't get to tell others how they feel about something or how something makes them feel. That's called gaslighting. You are not allowed to do that. We are seeing it every day in modern society that people are trying to tiptoe around with saying, oh, cancel culture, or oh, they're erasing our history, or oh, you're making this political. You can't control how a person reacts. You cannot control how something impacts them. Intent, I said this a long time ago on the show, intent does not erase impact. It does not. You can't control how people, you can't tell people how to feel. You can't tell people what to think. You can try. The works that I've created, I included a message in them. I included what I wanted to say in them. And in interviews, I will say that message. But when somebody reads it, the way they interpret it is just as valid as mine. Mine does not supersede them. That impact is not erased by my intent. And whatever Battlefield and DICE intend, it's going to be interpreted, right or wrong, better or worse. Because intent does not erase impact. All right, and that will just about do it for this episode. I got about a minute left, so thank you very, very much for listening. It is really hot here, so if you heard my fan at any time in this episode, I'm sorry. It's brutally hot in this room where I'm working. But as always, thank you very, very much for listening. If you're listening live on 101.5 UMFM, keep that dial on 101.5. You got great shows and great songs coming up right after this one. If you're listening on Spotify, thank you very much for your download. It means the world to me. Like and share and do whatever you need to do. And as always, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week. Wear a mask. Get vaccinated. Have a good one.